If you were to come up to Perth at the present time and drove down around town, you would notice on quite a number of the billboards the following statement: stop and think about life. Stop and think about life. And I would put to you that whether you are a Christian or not, that is something that is well worth doing. Stop and think about life. One of the old prophets of Israel made a similar statement, and he said this: consider your ways. Consider your ways was the challenge of Haggai the prophet to the people of his day, and yet, still today, that is a challenge that is well worth considering. Consider your ways. The billboards in Perth, the other part of the billboard says this. It's a quotation from the Bible. Stop and think about life. And then it says, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is transient. Life is short. It may seem to stretch on for years, but in the course of things, life is short. And so, how sensible to stop and think about life. How sensible to consider your ways. For at the end of life, the only thing that really matters is the question behind us, the statement behind me. What think ye of Christ? When life is over, transient and short, 70, 80, 90 years, the only thing that matters is what think ye of Christ. We're going tonight to consider the message of the Bible. It is undoubtedly the greatest story ever told. For the message of the Bible is a message that comes from heaven. And it is a message from God to each and every one of us. It is a message that can make a difference to life. It is a message that at the end of life is the only message that matters. We're going to think about one verse in particular, or even just part of a verse. You don't need to turn it up. It's in Hebrews though, in chapter 2. And the beginning of verse 3 says this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now we are going to read a little bit though from our Bible, so if you have a Bible and you would like to turn with me, turn up to Matthew's Gospel, the first book in our New Testament, and we're going to read in chapter 22. It is a parable that the Lord Jesus told, and it is a parable that I would put to you, explains and gives an illustration of the verse from Hebrews. The Hebrew writer said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Matthew then in chapter 22, and we're going to read the first 15 verses together. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The story that we have read, I have suggested, is an illustration of the gospel as presented in these few words from the book of Hebrews. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The Lord Jesus, in much of his teaching, used this method of parables. A parable is a story of everyday events, but it is a story that has a meaning, a story that has a spiritual meaning, a lesson for the hearer. And on this occasion, the Lord Jesus is telling the story of a king's son and the marriage feast that was prepared. But the lesson he was seeking to draw from it is mentioned in verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like. And so the Lord Jesus, from this parable, was going to draw lessons for us today about heaven. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We're going to think about this little verse and the three little clauses or phrases within it. We're going to think firstly about so great salvation. And in the parable that the Lord Jesus said, the provision was this, it's seen in verse 4. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. So great salvation. The invitation went out from the king. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But then there is also a warning in the verse. How shall we escape? And you will have noticed in the parable, towards the end, there was that man who came to the wedding feast without the wedding garment. How shall we escape? The words from the king were this, bind him hand and foot and take him away. And then the middle little section, if we neglect. The message came from the king to those who were invited. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But verse 3 tells us they would not come. Verse 5 tells us that they made light of it. They considered their occupation. They considered their possessions more important, more interesting than the invitation from the king. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Firstly then, so great salvation. The parable told by the Lord Jesus concerned an invitation sent out from the king. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. The king had everything prepared. The wedding banquet was ready. All that was required by those invited was to come to the marriage. However, as we've already indicated, the real reason, the real meaning and purpose of the story told by the Lord Jesus was to draw out spiritual lessons. And in this case, as we've highlighted, the lessons were all about heaven. Our text from Hebrews talks about so great salvation. And the writer uses this term to describe the invitation from heaven. For just as the king in the story sent out an invitation, come, all things are now ready, so God in heaven has sent out an invitation to man and woman, come, for all things are now ready. You might be wondering why it is that the Hebrew writer calls this message of the Bible so great salvation. There are many reasons why the message from the Bible can be described as great. Perhaps I'll mention just four. The message of the Bible is so great because of who gives the invitation. In the parable, it was a king, a monarch, a great man. But the invitation from heaven comes not from a human monarch, not some great human leader, but comes from God himself. God, who created and upholds all things. The God who is sovereign Lord of all that he has created. There was a man again in our Old Testament called Job, and he could say this, in whose hand is the breath of all mankind. And it is this God who sends out the invitation to men and women. The invitation is this. In the book of Isaiah we read, come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. In Matthew in chapter 11, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so this message in the Bible is so great because of who gives the invitation. It is also great because of the scope of the invitation. It is an invitation to all. In the parable, the invitation went out to invited guests. But the invitation of the Bible, the invitation from God is to each and every one of us. None are excluded. You cannot be too bad. You cannot be too good. You cannot be too rich. You cannot be too poor. The message from heaven is to you, and it is to me. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The invitation from God is to whosoever. And as the poet has said, whosoever means me better than my name. And so the salvation, the invitation from heaven is so great because of the scope of its invitation. It is to you and it is to me. It is great because of the uniqueness of the invitation. The invitation from God, as declared in the Bible, is unique in that it is the only way to heaven. It is the only way back to God. It is the only way to know peace and to have a relationship again with the God in heaven. A God whom by our actions and by our sins have offended and disobeyed the God of heaven. But this invitation is the only way whereby we as sinful men and women who have failed and fallen short of God's standard can be brought back into a relationship with him. if you went out into the streets of our towns and cities, if you were to go into the lanes of the countryside, you would find many suggestions and views as to how to get to heaven, how to get right with God. But the Bible message is unique. It says this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The message of the Bible is so great because of the uniqueness of the invitation. Neither is there salvation in any other. But perhaps the reason above all others that the message of the Bible is so great salvation is to do with the message itself, is to do with the content of the invitation. For the invitation from God, as it is contained in our Bible, tells us that God is love. And it tells us that the love of God for you and me was so great that it led him to give his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, sent his Son to bear the judgment, to bear the punishment due to you and me. When God's Son was hung upon that cross at Calvary, he was dying in your place and mine. And now, because of what the Lord Jesus has done, the invitation can come from heaven. From God, all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Is it any wonder then that the Hebrew writer, as he thought about this message, could say, so great salvation. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the message of the Bible is so great salvation. But although the gospel message is undoubtedly so great salvation, and although it does contain good news, the best news the world has ever seen, the best news for you and for me, although it tells us of a God who loves, a God who gave his only Son for you and me, it also brings a warning. How shall we escape? In the parable that the Lord Jesus told, there were those to whom the invitation came and they made light of the invitation. And they would not come. How shall we escape? When we come to verse 7, when the king heard, he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers. And then again at the end of the parable we read of a man who tried to come to the wedding in his own way, without a wedding garment. The word from the king in verse 13 was this, bind him hand and foot and take him away. How shall we escape? The invitation is so great salvation, but the warning is to ignore, to reject, to neglect. How shall we escape? You see, there is a warning of coming judgment in the Bible. In the book of Galatians we read this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Again, out there upon the streets and lanes of our lands, so many are living with this delusion that God is deceived and they mock God. But God says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is love. And that is great news, but God is also holy and righteous and cannot tolerate sin. He takes note of our sin. He cannot overlook our sin. And the penalty for sin that has been laid down must be paid. It is impossible that it cannot be paid. Again, in the book of Hebrews, we read this. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Stop and think about life. For after this, the judgment. Again, you see, death does not end at all. Death is but a door into eternity. It is but a step to meet God. Again, one of Israel's prophets had this message for the people of his day. Because I will do this unto thee, says God, prepare to meet thy God. Because of coming judgment, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet God? The warning is, how shall we escape? And the answer is, it is impossible. It is unavoidable. For when we die, we will meet God. The Lord Jesus has paid the penalty for sin. When he dies upon the cross, the judgment, the punishment due to you and me was paid in full, and now, by believing in him, by trusting in the work that he has done, our sins are forgiven. And we can have peace with God. We can have the assurance of a home in heaven. That when death comes and we take that step into eternity, it is into the presence of the God who loved us and sent his Son to be the Saviour. But to reject, to ignore, to make light of the message means no escape. And the Hebrew writer again is frighteningly real in what he says. All that waits but a certain, fearful looking for of judgment and indignation, for vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. The warning, how shall we escape? And so we have thought of so great salvation, the wonderful message of the gospel concerning a God who loves and sent his Son to be the Saviour. But then the warning, how shall we escape? Judgment will be meted out on sin. God is not mocked. But there is a way of escape. Because the Lord Jesus has come and died for sin. But then, the final little phrase or clause in our verse. If we neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If we neglect. And that brings us back to where we started this evening. Stop and think about life. James says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In the parable, some men made light of the king's invitation. They went their way, in verse 5, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They were involved and taken up with possessions and business. And because of these things, they would not come to the wedding. They did not expect judgment. No doubt they thought that many years lay ahead of them. They were unprepared. when the king's armies came and destroyed. They neglected. They rejected the invitation, and then it was too late. Concerning the invitation from God, the Bible says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." God's invitation, God's offer of salvation comes to you tonight. And now, this night, you have the opportunity to accept. To accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. To believe in Him. To trust that when the Lord Jesus gave His life on the cross, it was for you, bearing the punishment that you rightly deserved. And by doing so, by accepting the invitation from God, God will forgive, counting you as righteous and good, as one of His own children, because the blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross covers and cleans. Will you then accept the invitation of the gospel tonight, this great salvation? Tomorrow may be too late. God has given us today. God has given us now. Tomorrow is not ours. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Again, James says, "Ye know not what shall be in the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away." And so the challenge comes, and the appeal would be, do not neglect so great salvation, but accept what God is offering today. The verse we have been considering is in Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We have considered the so great salvation offered in the Bible message. An invitation to come, to know the joys of sins forgiven, to come to a God who loves you, whose love was so great that He gave His Son to be the Saviour, to take the place that you and I deserved. But we have thought also of the warning, how shall we escape? Sin will be judged. God is not mocked. The message of the gospel tells us that Christ died for our sins. God has judged sin in His Son. And if you refuse, neglect, reject the offer that He gives, then you will be accountable for your own sins. And finally, we remember the risk of neglecting. The invitation from God comes now, this night, today. The opportunity may be gone by tomorrow. And so remember, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Read through this parable again in Matthew in chapter 22. An illustration of these words from the Lord Jesus, as He would teach the people to whom He was speaking, and as He would teach us today lessons concerning heaven. So perhaps we could take time to sing a few verses of a hymn together. It's 250, hymn 250, once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? And verse 3 says, "Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not, at once decide, while the Spirit now is striving, yield and seek the Saviour's side. We're just going to keep our seats and sing verses 1, 3 and 5. Verses 1, 3 and 5 of number 250. The time and finishing just on 10 to 9 as Simon indicated. So do remember tonight, whether you are a Christian or not, stop and think about life. Tomorrow is not yours, it's not guaranteed. So what you do today might be the last thing you do. The Lord Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, for they are transient. And they can be destroyed, but rather lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. The invitation of the gospel is now, but also for us who are Christians, the opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven is now. Shall we just pray and then our service is over? Our God, we do again remember that Thou art the sovereign Lord of the universe, the one in whose hand our every breath is, the one who is in control and worketh all things according to the purpose of His will. We thank Thee for the opportunity that has been ours this evening of reading from our Bibles. We thank Thee, our God, that our Bible is the message from heaven for us, relevant, applicable, up to date, and vitally important for us tonight in 2007. We thank Thee for the great salvation that is in the message of the gospel. And we do pray, our God, that as we have considered thy message this evening, it may truly be to the benefit and blessing of all who have gathered. Be with us now as we part. We thank thee for the day that thou hast given. We pray, our God, for help and leading in days that lie ahead in thy will. But may we ever remember that now is the moment thou hast given. And so we ask thy parting blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.